The best way to predict the future is to invent it. Stephen Ambrose brings you up to speed on what the future holds as he explores the latest technology as it impacts our lives.
Well, welcome to Tech Talk right here on Chai FM. And honestly, I don't invent much, but I certainly invent a lot of the words I use. However, we do try to explain technology, and technology is just one of those things that we all take for granted. It's part of everything we do, everything we see, everything we say. And as you've noticed, when the power goes off, technology comes to a bit of a grinding halt. Even the mobile networks struggle because too many people connect, and who knows what's going on. But technology is absolutely fascinating, and every time I think we're getting to a point of sort of steadiness, along comes something really scary that's going to change everything once again. And the latest change we're going to talk about, something that's started to raise its head in the last few weeks, months at the most, is something called agentic AI. That's AI using agents to do complicated and multifaceted tasks online and come up with much more interesting information. And as the models evolve, as these sort of agents get smarter and smarter, expect to see some fundamental changes to the way that you use search, or the way that you use the internet, the way that you look for information, the way you're interacting with pretty much everything. But stay tuned for that. First, we're going to talk about a couple of the latest news items this week. One of them is that, not something we don't know, something that's been happening over the last couple of years, but standard voice call revenue is dropping precipitously. BMIT have done some research recently, and they've confirmed what we all knew. Nobody, or very few people, are physically, except for spammers, I won't even go into that, 40 phone calls a day from spammers asking to inform me about the latest this or that or whatever it is. But other than that, most people are using some form of VoIP, or that's voice over IP. In other words, using data to make voice calls. And it doesn't matter which platform you're using it. It's WhatsApp, it's Signal. It doesn't matter which one you use. But so many times people have just not even thought about it. I know that my family just use WhatsApp. Doesn't matter where they are, what they're doing. They WhatsApp call, and they chat, and they video, and they do whatever they need to do. And I said, but why don't you make a normal phone call? It's often the quality sometimes is a bit better. It's not as flaky if you're driving, because data tends to drop sometimes, depending where you are. And they all say to me, what are you talking about? So the revenue has dropped precipitously by over 50%. The networks are definitely struggling on that. And in fact, I can't recall the last time that anyone even mentioned the price of a phone call. So who cares? We just use data, we WhatsApp call, but it's dropping, and it's expected to drop even further in the next couple of years, down another 50% to a couple of billion rands worth of revenue, where it was essentially 10 years ago the biggest revenue earner for most of the networks. So Teams, WhatsApp, Slack, you name it, even for business, even for you and me, who talks just to the family and friends, voice is a dying technology. And unfortunately, we're going to see it happen. So it doesn't matter if it's 5G voice, 4G voice, HD voice, you name it. Though again, I will say one thing, many, many times, especially in times of power insufficiency, where you're having trouble with the net, with your data networks, voice calls still do the trick, but they are actually still more expensive from any point of view with regard to anything that you do. So data probably is a little cheaper. And one of the other things coming up next week, I will do my best to bring you a live from Barcelona talk about Mobile World Congress. Now, Mobile World Congress is coming up next week. It starts on Sunday with a whole lot of announcements. Honor and all, and many others have got press conferences on, and Huawei as well. Though, again, Huawei are not particularly relevant in the mobile space in South Africa at the moment. I know they push hard to sell their phones, but without Google, they're not exactly the most useful on the market. And then you've got people like Honor and Oppo and so many other Chinese brands that are doing an amazing thing. But we will have a deep look going forward. But one of the latest honors, the X9C, their rugged, hard one, And it really is pretty good. I've played with it for a little bit. It's certainly solid, great camera, great battery life using some of the latest versions, the super slim batteries. But expect to see Honor all over Mobile World. I think there's going to be a lot of announcements around AI, and a lot of chip manufacturers are doing a lot of work in that space as well. So what are we starting to see is AI, or the fancy AI that you're seeing in the Apple world, in the Samsung world, on their flagship devices, is coming very quickly into mid-range phones. So expect to see all this type of AI search, AI cameras, AI everything, translate, you name it, all starting to come to much more reasonable priced phones, probably from the 10 to 20,000 Rand range rather than the 20,000 plus where we are right now. So a lot of the manufacturers, a lot of the various providers from, wow, I can't even begin to tell you, but TCL, Tecno, Xiaomi, ZTE, so many manufacturers in the mobile phone space are going to have announcements. And of course, the big daddy, Qualcomm, who make all the chips inside, MediaTek, who are the second tier, though some of their stuff is certainly right up there with some of the Qualcomm products. They make the chips that fit inside and the chipsets that drive and power most of the mobile phones on the market. So expect to see a lot of news about that. If I can't get to you next week with this, but I'll definitely bring it to you the following week. Though Mobile World has stopped being the main sort of announcing place for phones. I think Samsung always used to have a massive press conference there, but now they tend to do it as they've done with the S24 range just prior, early February. Missed the buzz. Apple have never been there. They're there in spirit, and I'm sure their people are wandering the halls, but they definitely don't have a stand and don't do much. But there are a lot of announcements coming from Arm. They're the people who make the designs for the chips that MediaTek and Qualcomm make. You've also got the big technology companies. Meta are there. Microsoft are there. Google are there. They'll all be talking about their massive new models. I wonder if X will be there this year. I doubt it, even though they're pushing damn hard on their AI stuff as well. So expect a lot of buzz with regard to 6G and AI and everything else around that stuff. And on that note, we're going to take a quick break for our sponsors, and then I'll be back with Tech Talk Cafe and a deep dive into agentic AI. We'll be back straight after this.
This is Tech Talk with Stephen Ambrose on 101.9 High FM.
Now, moving on and back to AI. It's becoming incredibly difficult to avoid AI. We've all got used to the LLMs and, asking ChatGPT for this, or Claude for that, or Gemini for this, or now. My latest favorite, to be honest, is Grok, which is the Elon Musk X AI, which has just launched a brand new version 3, which has brought some interesting voice ability and some incredible reasoning ability. It's pretty spectacular. If you haven't used X or Grok, or were not a Twitter or X user, you can actually now download the Grok app directly. You can use it on the web. You just go to grok.com, grok.com, and check that out. I found that I use all of them across, and I often use the same prompts across all of them. And the chatty style and the sheer depth of research that Grok seems to be able to do seems to be edging out some of the later or the more commercially available models. There are some expensive, up to $200 a month AI models that have been launched. But I think what we're going to talk about, something that is starting to creep into the consciousness of what is going on in the AI world, is something that has a bit of a difficult one to understand, but it's called agentic or agent AI. Now, the idea of having a agent do your work for you is not a new one. That's something that we've been talking about. Microsoft famously had their paperclip, and anyone who's used Word over the years remembers the paperclip used to pop up and annoy you and do nothing nothing helpful at all. It was really, really useless. But the new versions sort of take things to the next level. And simply put, AI system, agentic AI systems don't just respond with a search through LLM territory, large language model territory. They were trained to give you lots of information about a request based on tons and tons of research and information that was trained or fed into the system from the internet or from wherever. Now, the commercial ones struggle a little with certain proprietary information. A lot of big companies have banned LLMs because they don't want their proprietary information to be sort of stored, searched, and used on the web or just generally available to the public. So most of them are starting to work with their own private LLMs using AI within their own context, or to go through their own documents, or to give information within the context of their own business, which is not available outside. And many companies that I know, for security reasons, have banned access to LLMs completely if you're on a work computer or a work, if you do anything around a work laptop. It starts getting really messy in that space, because if you've got a combined work home laptop, you could potentially start leaking all sorts of stuff. But anyway, I digress, but I think we must get back to what agentic AI systems are. Now, they don't just respond, but they tend to act, reason, and pursue goals that you set, obviously, autonomously. And that is a big change from passive tools to an active type of interaction. Now, these are not simply chatbots that spit out answers and, you know, and crunch numbers and take the data and create a website or do things like that. They're essentially artificial agents that are capable of planning, adapting, navigating, and having human-like intent. Now, I use the word human-like because the point where you will actually have technology that's as smart as, or is virtually indecipherable from real human intelligence, seems to be moving quicker and quicker. I think it's a burden, but it's one of those things that will happen all of a sudden, in an instant, somewhere, somehow. But for now, these are still machines that are really not that smart, but they are able to do a ton of things. Now, there are a lot of things. There's all sorts of existential implications about letting agents roam the web and do all sorts of stuff. But they certainly can do a hell of a lot more than you were able to do with a simple search. Now, right now, the art of search was always a big thing. You had to learn how to search to get information. And prompt research or prompt ability became the new buzzword within the AI world or the LLM world. You had to know how to ask or what to ask and what to do. But where you can start seeing LLMs popping out, you're seeing deep search, deep seek, words like that, which does a lot more than simply spit out a single answer. It relatively does a type of reasoning, pursuing goals, and you will see things like when you do, you can do it right now on Grok, you can do it on Microsoft as well, right at this moment on Copilot. And what it'll do certain things, such as if you search for a particularly complex thing, I would like to know everything about X, and I'd like you to recommend the best X's available on the market now, and I'd also like to know where to buy these X's based on personal reviews. Now, that's not a simple search. That's a massively complex search. Normally, what you would have to do, and this is where researchers are becoming really scared. Normally, a researcher would find all the relevant websites, look at all the documentation, read all the research within an area, find 40 comparison sites, check out the best washing machine, air conditioner, I don't know, motor car, doesn't matter what you're looking for, and then individually read as much as you can and start comparing. And then there are a number of sites that actually compared the stuff for you. Now imagine if you could do all of that and get an absolute analysis beautifully set out. You can even ask it to do academic referencing if you want, based on legal or financial or other. So it is pretty remarkable. So using these latest deep think, which will finally lead to a full agentic thing, and OpenAI are fiddling around. There's a lot of stuff. They will be a stepping stone to full AGI, which is intelligence, actual artificial intelligence. And a lot of people, NVIDIA, Salesforce, and a lot of commercial companies are doing a lot of work. Now, one of the best use cases I've seen of these new sort of deployments is really an interesting thing around healthcare. Imagine using an AI to triage patients, tweak therapies on the fly, predict crises, and a system that doesn't just monitor vitals, but then optimizes drug doses in real time. Now, all of that's happening via the web. It's not something that you get involved in. Now, you would imagine that your doctor would be able to do that. Yes, but a doctor can only see so many patients. But imagine you're set up on a protocol for your health, and along comes, and it's then monitored using your watch, using sensors, etc., and then tweaks everything based on the information available and your situation in real time. It could be pretty insane. But one of the best and most important things around agentic AI is that it does manage to give you a much deeper, much more thorough, and much more reasoned analysis of anything that you're looking at. It also gives you all the links where the information came from and synthesizes and sorts it in a way that absolutely will blow your mind. So I think this is something you should try if you haven't already, but you should definitely try it. Try it with, if you have access to Copilot, which most people do if they have Office 365, definitely using Grok 3. Anyone who has a X account can do it. And anyone who doesn't have an X account can do it through the web if you want. And the same goes for the new systems and the latest ChatGPT open AI systems. Some of them are paid for, some of them are not, but there's a ton of these various platforms there. And try the most exotic, complicated, and multi-level inquiries, and you will be absolutely staggered at what comes back. But if I may then just step back and give you a little bit of perspective, the machinery is still a little bit, I would say creaky is the right word. Most agentic AIs lean on the LLM models. In other words, all that information that comes from LLMs, all the same problems that LLMs have, does ultimately, you know, come straight through in agentic AI. You have all sorts of false information coming up, sometimes made up information, sometimes incorrectly put together information from the AIs, the LLMs, that may not, and remember, these agents go out and they collect information, they then ask further questions. So for example, I've made certain queries, and they'll say, we think you're looking for X. Now, that's interesting. How did it think I'm looking for X? Or it would go through my original query and say, based on our research, we need to look at this. And it goes on to search further or in a more refined way. Or you can say, please refine that and get a lot more granular with regard to the search. And it does. It gets deeply granular and starts giving very detailed lists, actions, solutions, all sorts of things that you can do. So I would say you need to approach this with a level of awe and absolute caution, because a lot of this stuff does not, what's the best way to put it, does not meet the absolute level of certainty that most people will need for initial research and for initial deep research to give you frameworks towards what you're looking for. It is astonishing. It really does work incredibly well. But when you do real research and you've got long-term planning and things like that, you will probably find that there's a massive misalignment with the reality of the situation. So knowledge and expertise in any field becomes extremely important with regard to these things. But from a point of view of you and I going out and doing some basic research, even some deep research into subjects or companies, or a lot of salespeople, Salesforce, these people have been using it for lots of different things. It gives you an enormous amount of information that would take you hours to figure out. So a standard interaction on the web, if you want to go into a sales call with a company, is to do a little bit of homework on LinkedIn, research some of the information about the company. All of this can take a long time, and you may miss something because maybe something was written by an obscure blog somewhere else. These agentic AI and LLM platforms are able to take all that information, and in minutes, literally minutes, it's not instant because often it's busy working. Again, if you look at it and you try it, you'll see it's busy working, it's looking, it's searching multiple things, it's figuring out that what you asked maybe does not align with the information that it found, and then suggests new information and goes and searches that. But in minutes, you can get an incredibly comprehensive view of whatever it is that you're looking for in the sales space, of the company you're going, the people that you're working with in that space. And it is unbelievably powerful from an information point of view. It's also incredible. I'm not a big coder, but I've been working with a few friends who do some coding. It's incredible at reviewing code, finding problems, certainly in the Python world, and giving incredible amounts of information around that. Obviously, you can make the most incredible pictures and little mini movies, but all of that is part of what sort of become background for most of us. We've all got used to it. So expect to hear a huge amount about agentic AI, and it'll change the way that you interact. Voice, I've always maintained, will be the next interface. It's available on the new Samsung S25s, and I've used it. It is pretty ridiculous how easy it is to just keep talking to the AI. It keeps generating information, and that is a form of agentic AI as well. You give it access to your apps. It can then check an app, go to booking.com, check a flight, do all sorts of things that you wouldn't even imagine it could do simply by linking all this information together based on a simple prompt. I want a trip to Barcelona. Give me the best flights. Give me the best hotels. I'm looking for the cheapest XYZ. And what are the best sites? And where do I book those sites? Or can you book me those sites? Now, that sounds like you're talking to your personal assistant, your secretary, the travel agent. But no, you're talking to a computer that can actually do that for the most part. It can give you the prices. It can book the. It can do a lot of booking that's available online. It's just ridiculous how quickly and how fast it's come. And that's based on Google's technology. And the other, I'm not to say Google is not on top of it. They're all evolving so rapidly, along with the Chinese AIs that are coming up really quickly. But essentially, today's AI is a blend of groundbreaking potential and work in progress. There's no doubt that this is transforming reality on how we interact with technology. But there are a lot of issues that we need to deal with. It's become a bit of an ethical issue. How do you do these sort of things? How's it going to affect your workspace? Is it actually fair to use an AI-generated research project when theoretically you're supposed to go out there? This is something that all college students, varsity students, school students are doing. You can do the most ridiculous research projects without any work. They can be picked up, so I warn anyone who's trying to submit that work just directly off an AI, you will get caught because there are AIs who check to see other AIs doing their work. However, as a framework, as a basic understanding of what is going on about a certain project, a certain research project, about anything, it is absolutely astonishing how deeply and how completely the AI and now agentic AI is going to replace your way of obtaining, clarifying, and sorting and researching knowledge on any subject wherever you are. And ultimately, my dear watch is now looking for all sorts of stuff. I don't know why, but it's too intrusive, unfortunately. But agentic AI will be the next frontier of AI. As a wrap-up, because I see the segment is coming to an end really quickly, AI took data, allowed massive amounts of search, a little bit of intelligence and some reasoning built in, which gave you much more detailed and focused information than simply putting in a Google search and getting 400 pages of links to information that you'd have to search. Again, be careful. Sometimes your own research, knowing what you know, sometimes you don't put it out right, and it might not be what you're looking for, so that you can get misled. There's a lot of dreaming and whatnot going on within the AIs where they make up very relevant information with links and references that don't exist. So be careful of that. But using agents that talk to other agents that are able to interact on a level where they can actually functionally do things, you will ultimately give them access to your credit card. You will allow them to book flights directly rather than you doing it. It may monitor and manage and find that at 2 a.m. on a Tuesday morning, the lowest cost flight to Cape Town pops up, and it'll book it and give you your preferred seat, all without your help. But that would mean some serious connectivity within your app ecosystem, your banking app, your booking app, your flying apps, everything to do with that. So there's a lot of work still to be done around agentic AI. We're going to see a lot of change coming in the next little while. But right now, the initial deep seek or deep think, as they call it, is pretty insane. The amount that you can see, the amount you can read, the amount you can learn, the amount you can do is just astonishing. And it's going to, in typical AI fashion, become pretty exponential. And on that note, quick break for our sponsors, and I'll be back with my gadget, which is interesting, and we'll be back after this.
This is Tech Talk with Stephen Ambrose on 101.9 High FM.
Apple announced their latest, and I use this word in huge inverted commas, that is known as budget iPhones. There always was a budget iPhone, though generally Apple used to use last year's phones as their sort of a lower cost option to the latest phones. Now, with the iPhone 15 and the iPhone 16, there became a massive break in the low-cost arena. Anything 14 and below could not take advantage or full advantage of Apple AI and all the AI functionality that is built into the latest version, iOS 18. Now, iOS 18 has evolved. iOS 18.4 is coming, should be out in the next month or so. But with full AI functionality and everything that they promised, they started off in Apple fashion very slowly. So whereas Samsung sort of announced their S24 and S25s with the latest in AI technology, both the agentic stuff in AI in Samsung S25, that is slowly but surely coming out with Apple as they gently introduced us to AI. And I've been using some of the betas. I'm on 18.4 beta right now. And the changes are pretty remarkable. The integration of AI so deeply and so seamlessly into the ecosystem, which is a hallmark of the Apple, you know, from silicon all the way up to final product design and software all in one house, makes things very slick, very integrated, and very easy to use. Though I will say my experience on the Samsung versions of the Google integration within the Samsung version of Android certainly is very easy to use and extremely integrated that you forget that it's there. That's the best time, you know, that technology is great. But again, digress a little on AI. The simple fact is the new iPhone SE device, or is now called the 16E, has been launched. It will be out tomorrow available, but it's going to start for a 128 gig at around about 16,000 Rand. So it's not exactly a budget device, and jump quite quickly to 20,000 if you want lots of storage. And what they've done is they've taken the latest processor, the latest modem, along with the same body as the new 16s, and given it's a 6.1-inch Super Retina XDR display, which is the same as the iPhone 16, and interestingly, the same as the iPhone 15, but it uses the A18 chip, which is the latest four-core. Well, it has a four-core, whereas the Pros have a six-core, and the non-Pro iPhone 16s have a five-core GPU, which GPUs are used a lot for processing video, but also for AI. And it does not include the camera controller switch, and it does not include the dynamic island. In other words, the little thing at the top of the screen, which changes as you use it. It's got the notch, a standard notch, where there's certain information at the top with cameras, et cetera, et cetera. So all in all, it looks like a really well thought out, very good quality phone, slightly cheaper than the iPhone 16, but not really much cheaper than an iPhone 15, which gives you, you know, all the above, plus a slightly older chip, which is not quite as fast, but certainly can take full advantage. So the simple fact is, if you want the latest inexpensive iPhone 16 with the latest chip, which will give you the benefit of the A18 chip, is that it will be future-proof for more years. So if you buy an iPhone 16 now, it will last a year or two longer than buying an iPhone 15 now, and you've got it, or an iPhone 16. Well, the 16 and 16e are pretty much the same. Sorry, what I'm saying is an iPhone 15 will probably be a little bit cheaper now and give you the same performance, or very little difference between an iPhone 16 and an iPhone 15 in performance, slightly better screen, slightly better experience with the dynamic island, as well as the ability to play and use all the latest software. It will not take you quite a year or two as long as using an iPhone 16. So my advice, and I've played with iPhones all the way, the 16 series is outstanding. It's super fast. It has the best processor. The camera controller button is great. I love it. I find it's very easy to use. It makes taking pictures really quick, and you can set it to do all sorts of interesting stuff within that, which is fantastic. Whereas the 16 and the 16e don't have it, and the 15 doesn't have it. But if you're upgrading from a 15, I would wait. I would wait till the 17. I think there's some big changes coming that would really make it worth your while. But if you've got a 14 and before, anything before that, a 16 starts becoming quite a compelling upgrade. They're not cheap, but they certainly bring a ton of benefits. And the use of AI absolutely is the sort of winning feature more than anything that the 15 and the 16 offer. So if you have a 11, 12, up to a 15 or 16 is a no-brainer. And if you're spending an extra 1,000 or so, would get you the 16e. Another 1,000 or two will get you the iPhone 16. So it's all a matter of cost versus benefit. But it does round out. In the US, it's a lot more, it's a little bit cheaper. It's $599 US. But again, in the US, often states have sales tax, which you somewhere between 7 and 11%. So it's hidden, it's GST, so it's add-on. They don't have to advertise it built in, whereas we use VAT, which is built in. So the price you see is the price you pay. So be careful about doing direct comparisons between the US price and the South African price. I think they could have been a little bit more aggressive on the 16e price, but it's reasonable-ish, and it does bring all the benefits of iPhone right now to and the ability to run all the latest AI right now. It has one camera instead of two, like the iPhone 16 and the iPhone 15, but it is using some of the processing power really, really, really good. So on that note, just the way to round it up is very simple. If you've got a 14 and below, it's well worth upgrading to a 16 or a 15 and get a better camera, better phone. You decide, look at the pricing, and you take it from there. We'll be back straight after this. We have another quick break for our sponsors, and then we'll wrap this up and call it a day for another week.
This is Tech Talk with Stephen Ambrose on 101.9 High FM.
Well, welcome back. And just a quick wrap. iPhones are always an expensive toy to play with. I know a lot of people love them. I know a lot of people swear by the Android versions. But whether you're playing with the top end of Android or the top end of iPhone, Apple, you're talking 20K above. In the 10 to 20K range, there is a ton of really good phones that do really good job of bringing you the best features. They'll all have AI now in the next few months, all the latest versions. So You need to be very clear about what you buy, but the new iPhone 16e brings you all the benefits of Apple, if you're an Apple fan, at a price that's approachable, if not cheap. And it certainly does bring all the benefits and all the latest technologies into one device, even though it's sort of a little competitive with its last year models, the 15. So check it out, but it certainly does bring you everything you're looking for in the Apple ecosystem. And see what it is that you're looking for. Now, one last, just to close, something that I came across on My Broadband. It's one of the websites that I use to keep in touch with tech because I can't see everything and do everything myself. A lot of, and it actually happened to a friend of mine. He was looking for a great new little portable 4G, 5G router, and he found a great deal on Takealot. Also on Amazon, I see they're there. And a quick warning, if it's cheap, too cheap, and such a great deal, it may not be the real thing. There are a ton of fake 5G connectivity routers on the market. They say 5G, and they're two things. Either they are completely lying, and it's not 5G. Sometimes it's not even really a decent 4G router, which is the older technologies. But Wi-Fi 4 and Wi-Fi 5, also a 5 and a 4. So the numbers start getting messy, and then they put the little G there, and everyone thinks it's the latest router. He bought one. It was not a 5G router. It was less than 1,000 Rand, and he thought it was a great deal. Well, guess what? It didn't work as it advertised. It did work. There was no question. But it was nowhere near as good as he hoped, and nowhere near the promise of what is made. Now, apparently, Takealot and Amazon have been informed about this, and a couple of these routers have been taken down. But at the end of the day, buyer beware. It's very, very important that if you're buying something that's cutting edge with 5G connectivity and the price is one third of the other well-known brands or competitors on the market, the chances are that it may not be the right thing. Check the web, do a little bit of AI searching as to that model, that brand, and try to understand what it is that you're buying. Generally, when you look at the specs, you can see it's not a 5G router. It's not that difficult. And the term 5G can be misleading because it sometimes talks about 5 gigahertz Wi-Fi, which is, again, a little bit of a soft thing. But if you're spending 699 or 700 Rand on a router where everyone else is talking between 2.5 and 3.5, you know that there's probably going to be a problem. I'm not saying there aren't bargains on the web, but with cutting-edge technology, and this refers to pretty much anything, the price is always up at the top. So the old story was the best computer is always 30,000 Rand. It doesn't matter. Whichever year, if you want the best one, it was 30 grand. You could get last year slightly cheaper, but the cutting edge always tends to be the most expensive, and the price-performance ratio is debatable, but you're not going to get something for nothing. So watch out if you're looking for a router, either for your home or for a little portable one that you want to travel with. There are a lot of scams out there. I wouldn't have even thought about it until it was brought up by someone that I know, and they were able to return it. But still, it doesn't feel good to get to pay for something thinking you're getting a deal, and you land up with something that just doesn't do the job. So on that cautionary note, I'm going to call it a day for this week. Till next week, I'm going to have a big week with technology and everything happening at Mobile World. And you must catch up on all the latest tech and all the latest mobile information that's coming out of MWC 2025. Same place, same time, right here on Chai FM.